There is no such a thing in anywhere like 401 highway. And I know that sometimes, you know, when you're stuck in the traffic, you're not very happy people. But thank God for this highway that this marvelous engineering. We can travel. We can travel from a city of Toronto in a span of minutes from one end to the other side. This is how brilliant human mind is. Where did we get such a brilliant human mind? We like numbers, right? We like to compare things. We like statistics. That's what God gave us. There's no any other creature in this universe that can do the same thing as we can. No any other. And there's only one creature that was created in the image of God, right?
Yes.
That's us. Let me give you some other statistics. You know what I mean when I say that human people, we, on average, we double our knowledge. Did you hear this expression? We can double what we know. Let me give you some statistic here. Before 1900s, human knowledge on average was double about every century, every 100 years. You know what I mean by the statement, right? Whatever we know, we will double with what we know in a span of 100 years. Now, by the end of the World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. From 100 years, the time was shortened to 25 years. Every 25 years, we would double what we know. And today, I think it's not that easy to measure, to calculate as it used to be. Today, knowledge is doubling. It depends what kind of sector, what kind of industry. Depends on what you're looking for. I'll just give you some quick example here. Nanotechnology knowledge is doubling every 2 years. Every 2 years. Clinical knowledge, every 18 months. So on average now, about 2020 now, on average, the knowledge will double about every 13 months. Think about it. Every 13 months, just a year and a bit, our knowledge will double. Compared to 100 years which it took before the 1900s. This is how fast we can double our knowledge. How does it make you feel? Do you have cell phones? Everybody's got a cell phone, right? How many of you can operate a device to, let's say, to its 100% capacity, what it was designed for? What do you think on average? On average, that you use your cell phone, to what percentage would you use it? 2%, 5%, 0.1%?
10.
So you see, how all this thing, how about the knowledge increasing so fast and doubling so quickly, how does it make you feel? I'll be the first one, overwhelmed. I'll tell you quickly, kind of like stupid. I can't catch up. Can you catch up with all those things that's happening right now? As you travel on a 401, you can see it, right? It's a city, it's a Toronto, it's a GTA area, one of the richest part of the country. You fly along this highway and you see marvelous cars, all kind of beautiful cars that's flying by. It's amazing what we can do in the 21st century. It's amazing. Now, let me give you a question. Of all the creatures that exist, we human knowledge, right? We human people, we can double our knowledge. We can increase our knowledge. Do you have pets at home?
Yes.
You have cats or dogs? Hamsters?
No.
Dogs?
Yes.
Would you say, what do you think? How often can your dog double his or her knowledge? Think about it. Do you have a hamster? How quickly hamsters double the knowledge? How long do it will take for anything? Dolphins. Whatever they know now, how long it will take? Another 1,000 years? Another week or two to double their knowledge? Isn't that interesting? Of all the creatures that are created here on this planet, only one species, only one can do that. You can teach all these animals all kind of tricks, but that's just the limit how far you can go. And that's it. It's over. With us, It's not so quickly. We have a powerful brain. And how would that be? How would that be aligned with evolution? Because everything is evolving, then I guess dogs and cats should be able to double their knowledge over the years, right? They should become smarter and smarter over time, right? But for some reasons, there's only one. There's only one human being that can do all of these things. Now, let me give you another statistic here. This is one Australian study that was put a few years ago. Any idea how many stars we can see through the night in the skies? Any idea? Any number? I can give you what the number it is. I can give you how we call this number, but let me tell you how many zeros, okay? So you can call it no matter you want it, right? So the numbers, visible numbers, when you go through the night, it's night, beautiful evening, and clear sky, when you can just look at the vastness, and if you can count, start counting all the stars that are out there. So that will be 7-0 followed by 22 zeros. I don't know what the number is, how you call this number, but it's just think about it. It's a 7-0 and followed by 22 other zeros after that. That's all the numbers that you can see. I'm not seeing the things that you cannot see with your eye. That's what's available for your eye. That's the numbers that you can see, right? Just think about it. The vastness of the universe. Open your Bible to Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Verse 4. Read it slowly, okay? Remember the number. 7-0 followed by 22 zeros. He counts the number of the stars and he calls them all by name. I can't even count them. I can't even count them. I can't even remember people's names when it comes to the number above 20 or 40, right? And now, it says here that he counts the number of the stars, he calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power, his understanding is. Just think for a moment. We were created in his image. What is our potential ahead of us? The marvelous thing that we can accomplish right now in this human flesh, what we can design, what we can build, what we can go with all of this thing. Just think for a moment the potentials, what we can do when one day, if we inherit the kingdom of God, I'll be able to count. 7-0 and 22 other zeros. Hopefully. I want to speak today about knowledge. Because knowledge is at the bottom of everything. Even when it comes to a biblical understanding, everything is about knowledge. What is knowledge? How would you define knowledge? The simple, basic definition. And why is knowledge so important? What is knowledge? What is knowledge? Facts. Information. Skills. Whether it acquires all the skills through education or through experience. Some people don't have education yet, for some reasons, they have unbelievable wisdom. Some people have a great education and many letters before or after their names, and then they have a hard time to live their lives. They might excel in one area of their expertise, but when it comes to the basic life, they're just failing. They have no idea how to live, and they struggle. So you can see that knowledge by itself Knowledge by itself can lead anywhere. Knowledge by itself can lead to destruction. And we are capable of this. It's not just our highway systems, right? It's just our military capabilities. We can destroy ourselves over and over and over again. That's how brilliant we are. Now, as I told you before, of all these creatures here on this planet, for some reasons we are different. For some reasons we have this powerful intellect. For some reason we have this creative mind. And if anybody tried to subdue your mind, we just don't feel comfortable. We like to be free. We like to explore. We like to research. We like to move on. We just don't like when somebody tries to put a fence around our minds. We just don't feel comfortable. Like, you look at some other animals, you can cage them, they can be happy creatures. Not all of them, some of them. But that's the whole point. Where did the knowledge originate? Where did the knowledge originate? What was the starting point? What was the beginning point of all the knowledge that we have? Just flip over to Psalms for a second here. Psalms chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I apologize. Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 19. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. And by his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. We just read sometimes over scriptures like that. We just don't stop. But if you try to meditate on it, what we're just reading, how powerful is God's intellect? How powerful it is. Can we imagine something to be created just by the power of the spoken word? And God said. It didn't say, and God did it. God said, God spoke, and something happened. Can you just think about how powerful it is? And God said, the word of God. Intellect, holding all of this thing together in one place, entire universe, including us, having this wonderful plan. And everything works according to his plan. Nothing goes outside his plan. No matter how hard we try, we'll always fall in line with his will. Even if we willfully try to disobey. Genesis chapter 1. As I said, you know all the scriptures here. Just a quick review. Genesis chapter 1. And this is such a great opening to this book, to the Bible. Because right here in one verse, and the next following verse, you will find everything you need to know about this book. Who, what, when, why. All the questions answer right here. If you just stuck with the first few 10 chapters, to the first 10 verses, you will find all the answers. First one. In the beginning, who? God created the heaven and the earth. What did he do? He created. When? In the beginning. Who did the creation? You have the answer. You don't need to guess. Don't need to guess. It's right here. And then as you follow it, how many times you said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. And at the end of it, what does it say? It's done. Just like that. Where do we get all this knowledge that we have? From who?
God.
Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Can you remember first time, or maybe even right now, if you read these verses like that, when you think about it, if you try to imagine, was this tree of knowledge and evil, was it a real tree? What is just a symbolic tree? Is God trying to confuse us here, or is just, you know, is a simplified, the most simply basic things that he never conveyed to people? What is your first thing when you read about it? When you think about it, there's a tree. Was that a real tree? And we know what happened, right? We know what happened. They ate from the tree, and what happened? Because I thought before that there's something magical happened. I thought that when they touched the fruit, when they ate it, I thought that, you know, somehow, miraculously, all this knowledge, not just the good knowledge, but also the bad knowledge, was just, let me use the new term, downloaded. Downloaded from the tree to their mind. That's what I thought. As they disobeyed, all this thing was just downloaded. Just like that. And they just couldn't cope with it. It was too much for them. It was too early for them to have all this vastness of knowledge. But we know just before that happened, we know, it's a fact, we can read it in Genesis, how intelligent Adam and Eve were. How do you know? God, when He created them, He spoke to them. If He spoke to them, there was a language that they communicated, right? If Adam was able to go and look at the animals and name them one by one, he wasn't just a primitive man, right? Like the evolution tried to show you, right? When we were coming back from the feast, we stopped. There is a Kentucky border and Ohio border. There is the Ark, Noah's Ark exhibit. So we, on the way back from the feast, we just stopped there. If he would look at this huge ark, how big it is, and Noah's, 8 members were able to build something like that thousands of years ago before all this technology that we have right now. See, I always thought, because I was so much influenced by the educational system, that, you know, we people, we're just getting smarter and smarter and smarter each time. But you know what? I would say it's the opposite.
Yes.
We go the other way.
Yes.
Our knowledge is increasing one way,
yes,
but we as human people, on the other way, you know what? We just become crazier and crazier each day. How many of you can sit and just, let's say, yeah, most of us can even operate a cell phone. We're able to build a Noah's Ark to the dimensions that, you know, that's listed in the Bible? How did they did all these things? Having all this information, we still can't figure it out how the pyramids in Egypt people built. No tools. No heavy tools. How did they did all this stuff? And we think, like, you know, oh, we are so sophisticated today. We are so smart. Look what we can do. You know, your cell phone battery dies and you're dead. That's it, you're lost. You can't even know where to drive anymore. What happened in the garden with the tree? Why they couldn't handle it? They lost something there. They were not ready for that. You know, as we think about this tree of good of knowledge, let me tell you, everything boils down to the one thing. And you know what it is? Obedience.
Yes.
That's it. Nothing sophisticated, something out there. Simple, obedient to one of the God's command. God said, don't touch it, that should be enough. But we follow Satan. Oh, you gonna be like God. You'd be able to count all the stars and name them one by one. He doesn't need to tell you. He doesn't need to tell you anymore what to do. You are mature to make your own decision. Look at you. You can discern what is evil and what is good. And because of such a great intellect, this decision will come easy to you. And 6,000 years later, look how easy it is for us. See, 6,000 years later, Look how easy it is for us. The wars and rumors of wars and killing each other and hating each other. Still there. We're still there. I want to show you something, so hopefully you better understand what I'm trying to portray here by this tree of evil, of good and knowledge. 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14. I'm going to break into the context here. I don't have time to explain it, but just one verse, few verses here. 2 Samuel chapter 14, look at verse 16. So there's a poor lady, comes to the King David, and she's begging for justice. Verse 16. For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the inheritance of God. Verse 17, your maidservant said, the word of my lord, the king, will now be comforting. Why? Why? This is her hope. For as the angel of God, so is my lord the king in what? In discerning of what? Of good and evil. And this is why we hear. This is why we become Christ-like. This is why Christ is the first from the dead, because he was able to discern what is good, what is evil, and follow the good. And we are on the same way, on the same learning experience. We need to learn how to be obedient and discern what is good and shy away from it and follow what is good. Now let me give you another example here. 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon. He's just about to rule his kingdom. And in verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Or basically he's saying, I don't have this knowledge. I don't have this understanding. I don't have this wisdom to discern what is good and what is evil. But I need to judge these people. I need to rule over these people. And verse 8, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, verse 9, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people. And what does it say? That I may discern between what? Good and evil. Brethren, this tree is still standing before you every single day. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can pick the evil, or you can pick the good. What is your discernment? How well it is? How quickly are you maturing? Let me ask you this question. How often, every single one of you, including me, how often do we double our biblical knowledge? Five years? 10 years? 15 years? Oh, we all grow at different rates. It's not just the knowledge alone. We'll come to this a little bit later. Now, let me give you the last example. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. New generation. The old one died in the desert. God was fed up with them. The new one. The next one. The younger one. he come across. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39.
Look what God says to them.
Remember how all these people complained? How great it was in Egypt? They sat by the pots of mead and onion and leeks and all this beautiful meat and fish. They had everything. And now they struggle, they suffering in this desert, being hungry, right? Verse 39. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there. To them I will give it, and they shall possess it. Why the older ones couldn't do it? They could not discern what was good and what was evil. And they follow the evil heart. Just like then Adam and Eve, when they stood in the garden, they have a choice. They had two trees. And God told them, you can pick, you can choose from any trees that you want to, except this one. Any single one, including the tree of life. Go, pick. Not this one. And of all the trees, which one we picked? The wrong one. And we are still suffering. We are burdened with all these consequences that happened back then. Mm-hmm. But we are on the same road. Mm-hmm. We need to choose too. So I don't think that back then was just basic download of information on a human being. Wasn't that? What this one tree represented was just simple. God that says, I will test you. I just want to see how obedient you are to me. If you are obedient, I'll give you everything. If you are obedient, I'll give you eternal life. There's a tree right there. All is yours. I made you above all the creatures there. You command them. You have dominion over them. You name them one down. You have everything. And you know what happened? Satan, in what form? In form of a created thing, snake. Just the thing that they were supposed to have the rulership over it, right? See what happened? We let ourselves to be ruled by somebody else. And still till this day, we would rather be ruled by someone else than God Almighty. If God says, don't do this thing, you will find 1,000 excuses why to go around this commandment. When someone else says, hey, go and have fun, we don't question it. Just do what your heart desires. You're free. You have all this freedom that you want. And how we learn obedience is an easy process. Most of us have children, right? It takes a long time to teach children the way to be obedient. We were children. We know ourselves. It was not easy to follow all the rules, right? Not easy. Is there a shortcut? No? What a disappointment. We like shortcuts. I thought that maybe you're going to help me out to find a shortcut. So we could avoid this pain and suffering. Hopefully, you know. So you can't help me. Can't help you. I'm in a wrong crowd today. No shortcuts. Wow. Did Jesus Christ have some shortcuts there? No? Think about it. He was the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. He was the most powerful being on the entire universe. Amen. Don't tell me. He didn't have any shortcuts. No. So if he didn't have any shortcut, guess I can have any shortcut. All right. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as man, talking about the most powerful being, right? He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So hold on. We call ourselves Christians, right? Or Christ like. Right? Or if you want to be more technical, we are the followers of the way. I think that's better description than just being a Christian, right? Followers of the way. Alright, so we're following our master, right? And master became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. How many of us would say that I am at this point, I learn, I master this process of obedience, and now if it comes even die, for me, I am ready. Let's say for me. You're ready to sacrifice your life for me. I'm not saying for Jesus Christ. Just let's say for one another here. Are you at this point that you would say, no matter what happened, no matter where I am, if something happened right here, at this moment, I'll be able to step in front of Jen and say, I'm ready to die for you. Very quiet. We are followers of the way. We're not there yet. We need some work. No shortcut. No shortcut. All right. Did Jesus Christ have to prove anything? No. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. He's only 12 years old. 12 years old. Verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Can I say he was obedient to that? The most powerful being on this entire universe, he's obedient to his physical. Wow. That's a huge lesson to many of us, right? Whoa, children obeying parents. No matter what they say. Wow. Come on, we live in the 21st century, right? I am 18 years old. I am 16 years old. I can do whatever I want to do, right? My parents, what do they know? That's what I said to my father. My father only had 7th grade education. I was, I think, about 14, maybe 16. I was way above that. I was in high school. Dad, what do you know? 7th grade. I am going to school. I have a top-notch education. I am way smarter than you are. And he, you know what he said? He said, my son, yes, you're right. I don't have much education. But I have something that you don't have. It will take you many, many years to have what I have. Oh, what's that, Dad? Experience. I survived the Second World War at the age of 16, 17, and 18. I was slave for 4 years. I was almost dead. The German SS officer almost killed me because I was sick. And I came back home to see my family. I was put in a concentration camp, even though it was 1947, that Second World War was supposed to be over, right? I'm talking 2 years later. I was in a concentration camp fighting to survive for another almost a year and a half. And I was looking at my father and I said, "What do you know?" Even right now at my age, I just know a little bit what my father used to know. But we think because, you know, we know how to operate the computers and we know how to operate the cell phones, we know how to do all this stuff, that, you know, wow, we are so brilliant here. We can figure it out how this world turns around, right? It's not that quick. It's not that quick. Now here, he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And look, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom. Jesus Christ, he was growing spiritually, physically. He increased in wisdom and stature. And look at this. And also with what? Favor with God and with? He's our master, right? We are the followers of the way. Are we doing the same thing? They will knock on your neighbor's door. What will say, "Hey, how's your neighbor over here?" What the neighbor would say about you? Or give me your access to your cell phone. Just give me for a few minutes. I don't. But just give me access. Let's see. What's in there? Let me check your bank account. I just want to see. What's your top priority when it comes to where you spend your money? What is it? Is it Victoria's Secret or? Or are you looking at some site and paying a tons of money for men to be on something that you're not supposed to be? Let me see it. Let me have an access to your phone. It's not supposed to be an open book. As a follower of the way, if you get into my phone, you're supposed to go and check there. It's like, oh, that's Jen's phone. I don't think anything incriminating about any single one of you. Can I go on your social media just to see what you do there? Or we just have a different behavior when you come to church, and we have different behavior when you're just really living from Sunday to Friday. Simple things. Simple things. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 10. For it was fit for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captains of their salvation perfect through suffering. If God the Father lead Jesus this way, so he could learn something about us. We don't like this word perfect, right? We don't use this word perfect too much in our society, because guess what? Everybody will tell you around that we cannot be perfect. It's impossible for us to be perfect. Well, when you read this book, on many occasions, what God says? Be perfect. As I am perfect. How are we going to be perfect? How is going to God make us perfect? Through what? Suffering. How many of you, don't need to raise your hand. How many of you suffer? Many of us. Can I say that is a normal thing for the follower of the way to suffer? We just need to find out why. Because not every suffering comes from God. There are many suffering that is inflicted by our choices. Like Adam and Eve. This is a different thing. But in many cases, God put us in a situation just to see what we're going to choose. Whether it be good or be evil. There's no any other. There's no middle ground. You walk one way or you walk the other way. There's not like a way in the middle. Between the evil and the good, I'll walk in the middle. You can't. You can't. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. And verse 8. So Jesus Christ didn't receive any favor from his Father, right? Right. Verse 8. Though he was a son, special son, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And because he learned obedience through suffering, verse 9, he became a perfect. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation, author of salvation. And I love what it says here at the end of this verse. He became the author of salvation to all who what? We don't like to obey today. Most Christianity today, they don't like to hear this word obey. The words obey is like contradicting the gospel. God's obey is like contradicting the grace. You can't work out your salvation. It's by grace. You can't do anything. How are we going to become obedient? Or obedience is not required anymore. Christ did everything for us, so we don't have to do anything. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, no exceptions. He went through the same life as we do, through everything the same, and yet he came at the end of it without sin. That's why he became the author of our salvation. What we are aiming for. If he's our author, he is the way, he's the one, then we need to follow him. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse Romans chapter 2 verse 6. Who we render to each, every single one of us, render to each according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. There is always a distinction. Good and evil. Good and evil. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil. Of the Jew first and also of the Greek. Verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. No one has got any special favor when it comes to obedience. Whether we're obedient or not. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This is part of my favorite verses here in this letter. James chapter 3 and verse 13. And I want you to take very personally as we're going to go through the scriptures here. Very personally. Verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? There's a question mark. Do you think you're wise? Do you think you're understanding? Do you think you comprehend everything what's in here? Do you think you have this thing, this powerful discerning ability? Do you think it's in you? If it's in you, let's look how easy it is to judge who has it and who does not. Look at it. If you think you have this thing, look what it says. Let him show by what? By good conduct. I don't need to hear from your mouth how great you are. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to read it on a social media how great you are. I want to see you in action.
Amen. Amen.
Keep reading. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in what? In meekness of wisdom. Are you wise? Do you have this wisdom that's going to take you to the kingdom? Do you have it? Then show me. Show me. Don't tell me. Show me. Verse 14. Just keep reading. It's not end. But if you have bitter envy, thank God we don't have people like that in our church, right? Oh. Oh. Surprise. If you have bitter envy, I don't think anybody is self-seeking here, right? Bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, please do not boast and lie against the truth. See? Do not boast. You are a wise person, right? We are wise here. We are the followers of the way. We are the followers of our master. He was wise. So are we. Verse 15. And I love this part. This wisdom that we just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
This wisdom does not descend from above.
Amen.
Cannot. But what? This wisdom, you know, I'm free to speak here. You don't have it, so that's good. We can talk about it, right? Because not single one of us, we all, you know, we're perfect. We're all righteous, so we can just go and have fun with it, right? Because we are different people, right? So, but this wisdom does not descend from above, but look at this. This wisdom is from where? This wisdom is earthly. This wisdom is what? Sensual. And this wisdom is what? Think about it. Now, when you watch it, the media, everything is about, you hurt my feelings. Serious. We can't stand it. Somebody hurt my feelings and I don't know how to respond. I get angry. Where is this wisdom coming from? Read it above. Is godly wisdom about how you feel? Think about our master, right? How much they abuse him. They spit in front of his face. They beat him up. They crucify him. Did he say on the cross, Father, they hurt my feelings. What did he say? They have no clue what they're doing, but I know and you know. What about you? If people abuse you, people hurt you, can you just step up a level above and says, I don't care what they do to me. My Father knows what's in my heart. I don't need to justify myself.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have it in you? Keep reading. It's not. That's not the end of it. I told you, this is my favorite part of this letter here. Demonic. Verse 16. For where envy... Oh, the self-seeking exists. Self-seeking, right? This envy and self-seeking exist. Confusion? Was your church ever confused? Oh, so you have self-seeking people here too. I guess we all have them everywhere. Everywhere. Self-seeking people. Sensual people. Earthly people. Not from above people. The earthly people. They just come and guess what? Just to stir us up. And Christ is just waiting to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to pick up the fight or are we just going to walk away? It's amazing. For an envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. Verse 17. And I hope we pray we're all going to be part of this category. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. You see, there are only two wisdoms. Again, wisdom from above and wisdom from below. There's nothing in the middle, okay? Nothing in the middle. The wisdom that is from above is what? It's first pure. Then? And then? And then? Oh. And then? And without? Wow. Now, knowing this part of the scripture, see, there is a difference. We can know a lot of things. We can quote a lot of scriptures. Can we live them? Can we live them? Not just quote them. Internalize them. And show all the scriptures in our action towards others. Can we do that? This is the proper understanding. See, always, the proper knowledge, the proper biblical knowledge will lead us into the proper obedience. The proper obedience will lead us into the proper doctrine. Always. And proper doctrines, again, will lead us into the proper behavior. In the end, behavior will lead us into the kingdom of God. There is no shortcut. You're right. There is no shortcut. We all need to go. We all need to learn to discern what is good and discern what is evil and avoid evil at all costs and pursue good with all our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And that sounds easy. I know. But that's where we all struggle. All of us. One point on the other. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 1 first, and then we'll go to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 18. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. People can't find it. They have the PhDs and all the letters before the name. They can't just, how can somebody die for you? It just doesn't make any sense. It's foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Hallelujah. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Yes, the knowledge is expanding at a fast rate. God says, I will bring it to nothing. Because all the knowledge without me leads to destruction.
Amen.
That's it. What is the wise? Verse 20. What is the wise? What is the scribe? What is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Think about it. for sins in the wisdom of God. The Word, through wisdom, did not know God. It pleased God that the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. That's where we're going. This is our wisdom. This is our understanding. This is our knowledge. Because this knowledge triumphs over everything else. Amen. Everything else. Chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 20. I'll read it to you from a New King James Version, and I'll try to give you a different translation just to see a different meaning, a little bit of a different meaning. So verse 20, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in knowledge be babes, but in understanding be mature. Let's reread it, this part, the last part from the NIV version. Brothers, stop thinking like children. Stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. Basically, if there is an evil, if there you can just smell it, there is something not right with it, don't have anything to do with it. Don't even try to experience it. Amen. You try to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. Just be like infants. Mm-hmm. But in your thinking, just be like adults. Kids want everything. But we have the power of mind that Christ gave us, that we should be able to discern what's evil and what's good. Romans chapter 16. I want to show you another comparison here. Romans chapter 16. And verse 19. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all, which is a great thing. But listen to the last part. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you, see, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. Let me read it again from NIV version. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Or you don't want to have anything to do, whatever evil may be. And trust me, you know it. There is lots of evil everywhere around you. Be like infants. Stay away from it. Knowledge that is based on the Word of God can produce righteousness. Knowledge outside the Word of God eventually will lead to destruction. And we can see it. We can see it, what is happening. Yeah. And now, Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. But you, Daniel, verse 4. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. This is exactly what is happening in front of our eyes. But this knowledge that is doubling so often, this knowledge will not produce much. Yes, we are sophisticated people. Yes, we have beautiful cars. You know, we have so many wonderful gadgets. Yes, you know, you can put your entire life in the single box of your cell phone. It's true. But then what? You're still going to die. Amen. Whether you live 50 years, 60, 70, 100, 150, at the end, no matter how many letters you're going to have in front of your name, guess what? You're going to die. Yes. And this is it. But when you're in Christ, yes, there is hope. Amen. I can not only count 70 and 22 other zeros, I can remember some of these things, right? In eternity, forever. If we learn how to be obedient. Who would give you such a vastness of power if you're not obedient? Would you give to your children? Would you go to your unruly son and say, listen, there you go, 350 car, go, take it on the highway and have fun. Would you do that? Why not? Oh, he just crashed my three other cars. What do I give him a fourth one? Just doesn't make any sense, right? Look at verse 10. Same chapter, verse 10. Don't worry what is happening around you. Stay to the text. Be pure. Look here, verse 10. Many shall be purified. Are you the part of the many that shall be purified? Made white and refined by the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Are you the wise? I hope so. Am I the wise? Are we making the right decisions? Do we have this ability to discern far in advance what's evil and what's good? Do we have this ability? Let me finish today, brethren, with this last final scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. Last scripture for today. You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked or lawlessness. But, verse 18, but grow in grace and knowledge. It doesn't say grow in knowledge and grace. Grow in grace and knowledge of who? Of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because to Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Knowledge outside is good to know. I'm not saying don't try to educate yourself. No. But be smart. This knowledge leads eventually to nothing. This knowledge leads to something.
Amen.
Let me finish here with the last question that I have for you. How often do you double your biblical knowledge?